Hello and welcome to Beyond the Bio. Stay tuned this week to learn from one of the best networkers in the world, literally in the world, and that will make a bit more sense in a few moments. Often on Beyond the Bio, I like to give a bit of a story as to how I have met my guests. And anyone that knows me well will know that Natalie Turner is a good friend of mine and also a business partner with me for City Ladies, which is the networking group that we run in Newcastle, London and Paris, with a few more new locations to come. Alongside that, Natalie is a wealth manager and is just an expert networker, which is why I wanted to have her on the show today. So let's get stuck in. Welcome to Beyond the Bio, Natalie Turner.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here on this sunny morning in Newcastle.
It is cold but sunny. And I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while because when I talk about networking and when I covered the topic in my latest book, From Unknown to Unforgettable, I did include a story about you and your networking because I think that out of everybody that I know, you spring to mind when I think about someone who does networking really well because I think you do it in a natural way and you find opportunities everywhere. So I will get to some of those stories at some point. But if we just go back a bit and just think about networking as a broader topic, what first got you interested in networking and why do you think you're so good at it?
Okay, so before I had my own business, I was employed by several large banks. First two were in London in investment banking, so not really an opportunity for networking. It was when I came to Newcastle and started working in wealth management, and I was asked to attend some networking events. And yes, there was a reason why it has work in the title. They wanted you to go out there and work your network. I didn't really know what it was. So to me, it was a free night out or a free lunch or something fun, except when you have your own business, then the work element does come into play. However, I prefer to refer to it as net playing. Because if you're having fun, then that people want to talk to you. So if you're there with your business card or with your business hat on, indeed, just talking about boring work, you'll probably find that people are making that excuse to go to the loo or to, you know, I've got to answer this urgent phone call. They basically want to get away from you because you're boring them. So when I started out my business, I needed to find clients. So that's when I started looking at any single networking event I could possibly attend in Newcastle. And if that was the opening of an envelope, then I was there.
So you were going to the opening of an envelope, but obviously at some point you have to actually do some work as well. So you can't literally just network all the time. So at the point where your business was becoming more successful, how do you then decide, well, which ones are worth my time and which ones aren't?
So the majority weren't. I tried mixed networking. I used to get chatted up a lot, not taking away very much business. In fact, one guy actually wasted so much of my time and then I found out he had no money. So I was like, he just wanted to set a pension up with 2 pence. So I had to learn very quickly, don't give too much of your time if you're at that type of event. Then I started focusing on female-only ones just because I found them better. There was less people there. You could have more meaningful conversations and that's kind of what I needed for my business. I also learned how to network because it was all very well having a friendly chat and having a bit of a laugh, especially if there was, you know, drink involved. But would you go home then and do anything with the business cards, for example? So then I started using LinkedIn to really kind of pick up with those connections and sending a little quick message because I would then remember who they were when I met them, how I met them and just something about them. And I had to start making it pay because I was on borrowed time. You know, I was paying myself to essentially do nothing. So that's when I had to get serious about it. Which events were appropriate and which ones I then would go back to would depend on the venue, whether I could park, traffic, just all those kind of basic things, which is why obviously the City Ladies ones that we host is so important that we get free parking. Generally, people can get here, it's accessible, it's a first-class venue, it's a name that we want to be associated with. So I'd look at all of those kind of things and mainly who's going. Are you getting repeat visitors? You can't really build a network off an hour meeting with a stranger that you don't follow up on. So it's great to have events where it has a club feel, but also that you're getting some, what I call as fresh meat. You don't just want it to be the same people because you might as well have a night out or a breakfast with your mates. So a good balance of regular repeat visitors where you can really build relationships. People probably mostly know what I do. Not everybody does, because I don't always talk about it anymore. But it's about that connection where you know that you can get a favour for somebody. And it's not about take, take, take. I found it was all about give, give, give. And then the taking follows naturally.
Yeah, that all makes total sense. And I do want to touch upon how your strategy's kind of evolved over the years as to what you decide is worthy now. But before we get to that, I want to just go back to a really cool story that I remember you telling me about. And I want you to share the story of how you ended up networking in the queue at Barbados Airport.
Well, yeah. Old Coca-Cola man, he's got to get a mention. We were in the checkout queue, and you know where you've got like priority boarding and you've got something in between that you've had to have signed up for, and then you've got the castle class, the riffraff, that was me. But we were kind of hovering in the middle queue, and I was trying to hedge my bets to see whether I could get away with it, because I hadn't done the registration, whatever you had to do with British Airways. And I was sort of like turning around, looking furtively around for some moral support. And there was a couple behind me who'd been on a mini break from London.
A mini break to Barbados?
Oh, yeah, that's what happens when you're a lawyer and you live in London. You just pop over there for 4 days. So he kind of said to me, like, are you going to give it a go? And I said, I think I am. I'll give you a wink. If it's successful, then you can have a crack yourself. So I got asked if I was there by myself. And I said, well, actually, that's a long story. And I know we haven't got time. So in a nutshell, I was there on an entrepreneur's sort of 2-week trip through an organisation called the Merit Club. A lot of female entrepreneurs go on these holidays, which are like working breaks. So I kind of said that to him. And he said, oh, wow, that's amazing. What do you do? So I told him, and I'm thinking on my feet here. And again, this is another thing what I did learn. If somebody asks what you do and you just are very general, you tend to get nothing back. But if you can go in for the kill and mention something that you feel that the person listening to you might be interested in, just nail it right down, narrow it right down. And I said, oh, well, I basically look at people who are in employment who might have acquired a few pensions from previous jobs, and I consolidate and I, you know, get them excited about planning for future financial events, making sure they're, you know, doing all the right things, saving tax. And he actually said, oh, I like the sound of that. Have you got a business card? So I scrummaged around in my bag and found one, handed it over, and he said, actually, I'll just take a picture in case I needed it, like I was going to be planning on handing out more business cards on the flight home. So I said, no, you keep that one. And then I sat down, and I forgot in that whole kind of conversation that I don't like being in the middle. And I got given a middle seat. So get on the plane. We said our goodbyes and went shopping duty-free. Get on the plane. I'm sat in the middle between two massive, like, tall people, and I was like, this is going to kill me with my claustrophobia. So I said to the hostess, oh, sorry, could you see if there's any seats on the edge? I don't like being in the middle. And where did they sit me next to? But Coca-Cola man. So he had the pleasure of my company for the next 10 hours.
Hiya.
While we shared a few wines and I bored him to death. But he got the sort of cut of my jib and we stayed in touch. I helped him out a few times with a few bits and bobs. And then a year later, he actually signed up and is one of my clients. So
that is just wild. And is that your most unusual story, or can you beat that?
Well, I don't think it's quite as glamorous, but I did actually get a client from a funeral. I'm not proud of that. She did ask me what I did. I was giving a lift to her.
Oh my God.
Somebody else who was attending the funeral. And yeah, we got chatting. She just set up a recruitment company and I was telling her what I did. And she said, you know what? I need someone to look after my pension. So there you go. Didn't need to be asked twice.
Wow.
Swap details. And yeah, I'm working on somebody that I met on the National Express going to visit my daughter at Bristol Uni. She was loving my cash flow modelling, but yeah, I've not heard from her. So
do you just see any opportunity as an opportunity to network?
I don't really see my work as work, which is lovely. And it's like that, you know, if you love what you do, you don't have to do another day's work. Trust me, I do a lot of work. There's bits of my job I absolutely hate. So when I'm out and about, I do talk about it because people generally ask you what you do. And they're always quite impressed. Ooh, wealth manager. So then sometimes, depending on the company I'm in, I might change that to financial advisor. It feels a bit less scary. Most people are interested. It's a bit like having a doctor in the room. Most people at our age have got something they would like to ask a doctor off the record. And I get asked lots of questions. So I'm always very keen to be helpful because I love what I do. So I don't find that a chore. I don't think, oh, cheeky bugger, they're, you know, getting some free advice. And then people will come to me when they're ready, but generally I'm telling them what I'm doing. They're enjoying hearing about it. I'm quite good at remembering what other people do and also asking them. People love to talk about themselves. And those that don't love to talk about themselves probably like networking with people like myself, because I talk about myself a lot, but I'm also never, you know, short of a word or two. So that removes some of the barriers or the awkwardness for people who are not as comfortable / confident at just going in a room with loads of strangers. Whereas that, to me, is my idea of heaven. Take me somewhere where I know nobody and let me, you know, unleash me. See what I can do.
That was going to be my next question. You know, what is your advice for people who feel intimidated or awkward about networking?
Well, if you feel really awkward, go with somebody. So that if you're not feeling your best or, you know, it's a bit awkward, even with our events, you know, there's not that many people there. Some people get there early and they're sort of standing there a bit awkward. So I always try and go over there and engage with them or reach out to the organiser, because I've had a few people do that. And I'll say, look, you'd be absolutely fine. Come and stand by me. I'll make sure that you're all right. And it just gives them that sort of person, like the first day at school, if they know that there's going to be somebody there that they know, like a bigger sister or a neighbour, that they're not just going in there completely cold, because there are quite a lot of events where they are a bit standoffish, clicky, where everyone knows each other, so they don't really look out for people like that who might be standing there.
And I think if anyone's listening who perhaps isn't experienced in networking or wants to do a bit more, maybe hasn't been out on the scene for a while and is feeling a bit awkward or intimidated, actually maybe putting a shout out on something like LinkedIn to ask, you know, where should I be going? Where's friendly? Where's welcoming? To get those recommendations, because not only are you hopefully going to see some recommendations of great events, but you'll also see who's going to them, and you could maybe arrange to meet someone outside to go in together or something like that. Because I think because we're well networked and we go to lots of things, you know, like you say, you could just chuck us in a room and we'll find someone to talk to. It's fine. But I think you forget how intimidated people feel sometimes. And it's only when we're running City Ladies, where there's first timers every month, that I remember that, because sometimes I remember there was a lady that said she'd sat in her car for ages before she came in because she was so nervous, but obviously was glad she came and felt very welcome. But it's useful, I guess, just to remember that not everyone feels that way.
No, I think that's a really good idea. And, you know, having that ability to network online beforehand, it's amazing how many people message me via Facebook group saying that they would love to come, but they're really nervous and they're really scared. And I try to, you know, put them at ease and say, look, everybody comments how friendly this particular event is. And I get the same from London. You know, people love coming back because they feel like it's a welcoming, fun, vibrant, friendly group, which is always what I try to portray when I'm hosting it. But yeah, definitely, if you can put on any social networking and you get people coming back giving recommendations, then you know that you've sort of screened it, if you like. It's not going to be completely out of your comfort zone.
Mm. You mentioned before about how you were using things like LinkedIn to follow up with people. How do you manage to stay so organised and remember people's names and their interests and their goals and things like that? Have you got a technique, or are you just naturally very good at remembering things?
Very difficult, and I'm getting better. The smaller the group, the easier it is. So what I found with my London group is that I try and guess their name. I make it as a bit of a joke when they're coming towards me, and it's obviously, we have to sort it by surname. So sometimes I know their surname before their first name. I don't always get it right. So I now just say, oh, forgive me, out of context, remind me your name. I know your name, or I can't remember what you do, or I know what you do, but I can't remember your name. I'm just honest. And some people do get a little bit offended. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I meet hundreds of people every month. And obviously, they're going to remember me, motor mouth, you know, small redhead, stand out like a, you know, sore thumb. But I just try and, you know, if they're looking like they're a bit miffed, I'll just go on the charm offensive and try and make it up, because it's impossible. You can't.
I struggle with names. I don't know whether it's an age thing as well, where you just forget things, or whether we're just so overwhelmed by meeting people in different contexts. But I do struggle with that. And I guess to think about it in the context of City Ladies, if I'm checking people in at Newcastle, I love the fact that I have to ask them for their surname, because
yes,
I think that's a kind of a good way of...
Well, you're not expected to know everybody's surname,
yeah,
so you can get away with
it.
And I do wonder whether we should have name badges as well, you know, not
probably
for all the guests, but just for us. And I loved when I saw somebody's business card the first time that had a picture on it, a photograph.
Mm.
Because if you've been at an event, especially an evening, well, you might have enjoyed a couple of glasses of champers. You can't always remember exactly, but business card with a photograph on it, then it all comes back to you. And I love that idea.
Yeah, that's a good shout, actually.
More and more people are starting to do that.
Yeah, good tip there. So obviously we co-own City Ladies Networking, and it's grown fast now. So we'd be missing out if we didn't talk a little bit about City Ladies. So what do you think makes City Ladies such a special community?
Well, it was set up originally for a real genuine need, and that was some business owners ourselves that needed somewhere to network, that we hadn't really found our home. We hadn't found that one networking event that was going to be convenient time to us, location, and that had the right feel to it. Everybody knows my clipboard. You could never find out who everybody was, because some events were really organised and they had lists of everybody. But then what if those people didn't turn up? All of a sudden GDPR came along and it threw that all up in the air. So we're breaking the law here. What about sharing details of somebody that hasn't actually turned up to the event? So I always wanted to have some free networking space at the start. That was very important. But I always wanted that ability to sit everybody down and give them the chance to say their name, their company or their business name and a very, very brief outline of what they do. Because that way, everybody in that room, they might have spoken to one or two or three or four people at the start, but that way they get to know exactly what every single person does in that room. Because the people you would naturally gravitate towards for whatever reason, maybe they were near the coffee machine or cakes, they might not be necessarily the ones that are going to be more beneficial to you. But by hearing that little intro, and then of course we have the speaker, which is a focal point of the event. So I think from my point of view, it's special because it's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
I don't think we're alone. I think that's exactly what a lot of ladies want, which is why we get so many people coming back and recommendations.
Yeah. And just for anyone listening that's not been to an event that is wondering what the heck this clipboard is all about, you have to explain that now.
Well, the clipboard, I always am honest and I ask all the lawyers in the room to cover their ears, not like we're breaking any rules at all. I just say, look, it's an adult version of a sort of sharing of the list of attendees. If you want to have your name and email address available for everybody in this room, then put your name and email address on there. And if you don't, you don't. But it's not compulsory. And then everybody fills it in. And at the end of the event, I make it available for other attendees to take a picture of it. However, I am quite strict with the rules. There's no group mailing, so you're not allowed to take that list home and go and add it to your mailing list, nor do I permit group emails, because that can get overwhelming if you've been to an event and suddenly you get 15 group emails of, you know, whatever, even if the content's amazing. It's a bit rude, so I say don't do it, and I haven't decided on the punishment. Nobody's done it. But it just means that you can go, oh, right, that was Sophie Milliken. I'm thinking about publishing a book, and I know she mentioned that was part of what Moja does. I'm going to send her an email and ask her for a coffee. That's what that's for.
And it works well. It does work well.
Yeah, even if it is a bit like 1980s, I feel like I should have shoulder pads and a briefcase and some, you know, a large mobile phone when I whip that out. But yeah, it does work, and it's less admin, because obviously that's not our forte.
It's definitely not our strength.
I think people really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things before we wrap up. So first of all, on the theme of City Ladies, what's next for City Ladies in terms of expansion plans?
Well, this is a million-dollar question, because we've got so many opportunities. We want to launch in different cities. So we've got a few key cities in this country, Edinburgh being one, Manchester, I think Leeds. They're all kind of ripe for picking. We've had some more ambitious requests, which I would be very, very delighted to fulfil, which is Dubai and New York. Obviously, we'll have to check out the legalities of how that might look. And finding hosts. So we've got a lovely lady called Anna Calbasco, who hosts our Paris one, as you know. Finding people who want to do it is a massive plus, because obviously, much as I'd love to go there, as I'm sure you would, we can't be flying out to Dubai every month. So finding good hosts. So anybody listening who loves networking and is friendly and confident, if it's something that you'd be interested in, yeah, reach out to Sophie or myself, because we'll definitely be rolling some out this year. We don't want to go too fast. We want to get quality over quantity, and we'll be putting together a hosting pack to make it all official. So yeah, because Hilton have been so kind to us, and they seem to be one of our biggest fans. I think basically, if it's a Hilton, it's fair game.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And I think it's really important, that point around quality, and that's why our events are purposefully reasonably small. And I was just talking to someone earlier about the fact that we tried to go bigger with Newcastle as an example, and it didn't feel the same because it was harder to get round everyone for those intros, and we weren't in as a beautiful room in terms of the view and things like that. So, you know, it's really important to do things around quality and purpose and make sure that we get that. So, yeah, kind of watch this space for City Ladies, and we'll pop a link to City Ladies in the show notes so that anyone who's interested in coming along to one of the events or even perhaps hosting one can check it out in a bit more detail. Just before we wrap up, what is next for you in terms of your own networking strategy? Like, how are you now deciding whether or not you're going to stuff?
I used to always have the theory, if there's food involved, free food, I'm there. My diary doesn't really permit that. I'm quite tied up doing client work and research and all the other things that come with being a wealth manager. So I will see if anybody else is going there that I want to catch up with. That's a massive plus to me. Staying connected to people who are mutually beneficial in your life in general. It doesn't even have to be about work, because I do find that I struggle to separate personal from business. And I think it's really helpful to have a bit of a defining line. But I just like helping people. So I think that's why I've been so successful networking, because I've always been that sort of person that I'm not precious. So if somebody's hosting an event, I'll say, look, I want to go to this event, but I guess I'm not top of your list. However, if you ever get a dropout last minute, doesn't matter how late, phone me. I will not be offended. And I've been to the most amazing things because I've said that. So getting back to your question, how do I work out what's going to be right or wrong to go to? If it's in an amazing venue, if it's somewhere I have never been before, if there's people there that I know I really need to catch up with, or specifically want to ask favours. So like yourself, I do a lot of charity work, so I'm always on the beg for raffle prizes. So I think it's a lot of, like, you know, you scratch your back, I'll scratch mine. I do work for the Lord's Taverners. I've invited people there before and they then help you out. And it's really about that. If somebody thinks you're on the take, they're not going to be interested. So events that excite me, events where it's going to lead to something. I don't just, you know, go to something for the sake of it anymore. You can't. You've got to be a bit more serious.
A bit more choosy. Awesome. So anyone that's listening that wants to connect with you, is LinkedIn the best place for them to find you?
Well, you know, I love a bit of Facebook, but
I do.
I'm probably the only person that's in their 50s that still loves Facebook. But LinkedIn for business, absolutely. But yeah, I don't have any problem with anybody connecting with me on Facebook either. If they want to see where I'm going on holiday and what I'm eating, Facebook's the place.
Okay, I'll pop links to both of those profiles in the show notes along with the link for City Ladies. Thanks for joining me, Natalie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you're serious about growing your profile, take our free profile assessment quiz to see where you're at right now and get hints and tips on how to improve your score. You'll find the link to the quiz in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the episode, it would be mint if you'd subscribe, like, and leave a review. See you next Monday.